Now, today, of course, is the fourth and last Sunday of Advent, the Advent season. Christmas Day is almost here, the big day that we have been preparing and waiting for and anticipating. We've been talking about this gift of Christmas. We have our gift that we've been waiting to open, to find out what's inside, to finally take the paper off and see what it is and enjoy the blessing of the gift that's been given. Christmas Day is coming soon. We finally get to open that gift of celebrating Jesus and just giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done for us. And as we've been considering throughout this Advent season, there are so many benefits that come from waiting on the Lord and trusting in his goodness and anticipating the good things that he will do because of his character, because of his promises. And so today, I want to consider one more aspect of waiting and trusting and anticipating God's goodness. There's something that God builds into our lives that gives us a powerful ability to endure and even thrive in a world full of sin and dangers and disappointments. This is something that we can see exhibited among many of the people we learn about in the account of Jesus' birth. And so as we think about this, I first want to just start by imagining life in which you never had to wait for anything. What would it be like if every time a need arose in your life, it was just instantly fulfilled? You never had to wait, right? Everything good would just come right away. You never had to wonder. You never had to wait. You never had to worry. It was just always there. You're always satisfied, always fulfilled, never experiencing those frustrations that come with waiting. Would that be great? In some ways it would, right? In some ways it would be really nice. And in fact, I think there's part of us that really wishes for that a lot of times. That's why we get frustrated with waiting. We wish things would be different. We don't have to have to wait. We want what we need right now. We don't want to experience the hardship that comes. There's a part of us that thinks this is the way the world ought to work. You've probably heard people say, if God is a loving God, then why wouldn't he just give us all the good things we need right away? There's a part of us that thinks that way. But without having to wait for anything, we miss out on some valuable experiences, as we've already talked about. Seeing how God is faithfully works in all circumstances and experiencing that thrill of anticipation. And without having to wait for anything, we would miss out on developing one of the most powerful and life-giving forces in the world. And that force that I'm talking about is the power of hope. Hope can only develop in the gap between what is now and what may exist in the future. It develops in that waiting period when we look into the future at what is not yet here or what has not yet happened, but believe wholeheartedly it will one day. Hope is essential for a life in a world that has been ravaged by the sinfulness and selfishness of mankind. Hope is what keeps people living and believing in tomorrow. A Psychology Today article on the power of hope says this: hope is often the only thing between man and the abyss. As long as a patient, an individual, or a victim has hope, they can recover from anything and everything. And the article goes on to say, hope is the belief that circumstances will get better. It's not a wish for things to get better. It's an actual belief, the knowledge that things will get better, no matter how big or how small. In the Bible, the writer of Hebrews applies the same kind of reasoning to the definition of faith, which comes from what we hope in. This is from the New Century Version, or the translation of Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we don't see it. Faith is the reason we remember the great people who lived in the past. This hope is a wonderful and powerful gift from God. It has an amazing strength to have hope for tomorrow. Hope is what is missing in so many people's lives today. We may not often hear about it, but we see the signs of it everywhere. I have conversations with people about this constantly. We are currently living in a time of a crisis, of hopelessness. We have this Treehouse teen ministry that's focused on teens, and we've talked about the crisis that teens have. Almost half of them report feelings of hopelessness consistently, but they're not the only ones. One of the things that attracted me to Treehouse is that what we train in there can be applied to ministry to anyone. All over our country, all over our world, people are literally dying, taking their own lives because of the despair that they feel. They see no hope for tomorrow. Hope is what keeps people living. And when I think about serving God as a disciple of Jesus, when I think about being an effective minister of the gospel in our world today, the skill I most want to grow in and really excel at is being a minister or an ambassador of hope. Sharing the gospel with people and inviting them into a life of faith with Jesus is deeply rooted in sharing with them that Jesus is the one true and faithful hope for their lives. The historical truth of Jesus' birth and death and resurrection are the evidence that there is hope for us beyond our sin and the sin of what has been done for us in the world. And so many people are lost in the despair of what has been done to them or what they have done. And if they could know the hope that they could be forgiven, that there is grace for even them, no matter what they've done, can carry them on into the next day. There is hope for a meaningful purpose to our existence, and hope that there's something beyond this life that is worth pursuing. A prevailing theory of our day, of course, is that there is no meaning to our life. We're just accidents of nature. We have evolved into the state that we're in. That's the predominant story that's taught to everyone outside of a life of faith. And in that kind of existence, there really is no meaning. There's no purpose. So why should we bother going on living? And yet we can know because there is a God, because he does love us, because he has created us and has given us this world, that there is meaning to our lives. There's hope that God will do something in and through us significant in this world. That hope sustains us. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul wrote about hope in the coming glory of God, not only for ourselves, but in fact for all of God's creation. So let's go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 19 through 25. I'll give you a couple minutes to find that in your Bibles if you're going to follow along. Romans 8. I'm actually going to start in verse 18. So Paul says here, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom, the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemptions of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And so at the end there, again, Paul points to the fact that hope develops in the waiting time. We can't hope for something that's right there that's already been given to us. We hope for what has not happened. But I love this picture that he creates here of the entire creation longing for the glory of God to come and be revealed. Creation has been subjected to futility because of the sinfulness of mankind, because of the evil of Satan. And it's held bondage to corruption. And yet, the world itself continues to hope in the Lord because they know the glory that comes. And we are given this promise that the glory of God is far greater than any of the sufferings we experience in this world. Nothing, none of our sufferings is worth comparing to the greatness of the glory of God. There's an incredible vision in that when you think about it, of how much greater knowledge of God and closeness to God is than anything we experience in this world. And this promise of knowing God and being adopted as his children and having our bodies redeemed from the corruption of sin by the purchase of Jesus' blood is a glory to continue to hope in. This is a hope worth pursuing, a hope worth waiting for if we know it to be true. Now, as you read through the Christmas story, you can see that hope was a driving force for so many of the people involved in that story. Consider, first of all, Zechariah the priest. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, and Luke tells us that he was on duty serving as a priest before God, and he was chosen to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense on the altar when an angel came and spoke to him. First of all, Zechariah was gripped with fear in that moment. And that always makes me wonder what angels really look like. Because the first words typically out of an angel's mouth are what? Do not be afraid. Right? So it's got to be pretty fearful. Not only to have an angel just suddenly appear, but what do they look like? But the angel said to Zechariah, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Now, and then went on to tell him that his wife would conceive a child, and this child would be great in the sight of the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he would turn people to God and make way for the coming of the Lord. Now, have you ever stopped and thought about the prayer that had been answered? What prayer was the angel referring to? I just heard a commentary on this recently. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. What was Zechariah praying for? I think I've often assumed he was praying for a child. But we already know that Zechariah and his wife were well beyond childbearing years. Would he have been asking God to still give them a child, or had they realized, you know what, maybe that's just not for us? And here he is serving as the priest of Israel. Would he be going into the temple to lay his personal request before the Lord, or would he be praying for the nation of Israel? Now, we don't know. This is all speculation. But it's conceivable to consider that in that moment, what Zechariah may have been praying for is the Messiah, the hope of Israel. For the last 700 some years, since God spoke through the prophets, saying that he would send him a savior to his people, that prayer was now being answered, beginning with the herald of Jesus' birth, John, who was conceived in that time. The hope of this nation was now being answered. They continued to pursue God. They continued to serve him and love him because they believed wholeheartedly that God would send a Savior. I think about Mary agreeing to allow God to conceive this child within her and carrying that child, bearing the judgment of people around her, bearing the responsibilities and challenges of the pregnancy and considering being the mother of the Son of God. She was filled with hope in that time, for the day when she would meet this child, that he would come, hope, expecting that God would do something great through this child that he had given her, that he would care for her. I think about the Magi who studied the stars, looking for the sign of the coming of the King of the Jews. They set out toward Bethlehem following that stars in the hope that they would meet this newborn king. It wasn't a wish. It was a sureness that they had that they would find him. They were driven by hope to take that journey. I consider a man named Simeon, who was promised by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. And when Jesus was just a small child, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to be presented to the Lord according to custom. Simeon saw Jesus and in that moment knew that this was the Messiah. Luke tells us, he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and in the glory of your people Israel." This was a moment of hope fulfilled for Simeon. He had been waiting patiently and faithfully, trusting that the Lord would send his Savior in his lifetime. He was looking forward to that, in hope to that one day when he would see the Messiah himself. And when he did, his hope was finally fulfilled. And he gave thanks to the Lord. And so in all of these examples, you can see how the waiting is essential to developing hope. Hope is what sustains you in that time of waiting until the promise is fulfilled for the better day to come. So in his great wisdom, God knew that there is a greater good he could give our lives by not satisfying our every need in every moment. And as great as that may be, and how much anxiety that might reduce for us, God knew it would be better if we could know what hope means. And perhaps even he knew we would need that to survive in a world that has been broken by sin. Consider how difficult it would be to live in this world without hope. How could you go on? God knows there's a greater power and a greater joy available to us when we have our hearts filled with hope. And so he promises, and he says he will provide in his time, and he says that we will experience his presence and his salvation and his glory at the proper time. He presents us with a gift, and he says we can open it at the right time because he knows the power that hope has when it develops in our hearts. Now, when you think about hope, you can think about all kinds of short-term hope that we can have in different things. You can think about the hope of arriving at a destination when you're traveling, or the hope and the satisfaction of a good meal. There's all kinds of small things that we may find some hope in and may see some satisfaction in short-term, but they're all short-term and short-lived. It's not enough to have that kind of hope to sustain us long term, to give us reason to really live through the hardships of life. And you do see hardship brought up so much in relationship to hope because it's hope that overcomes those things. The reality is that sin has made this world difficult to live in, really difficult at times. And hope, true hope, lasting and trustworthy hope, has the power to give us reasons to go on. Hope literally gives us reasons to keep living. The Bible demonstrates for us and describes the enduring hope we can have in God through Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, again, Paul says this about the hope in Jesus. Romans 5:5 in the New Century Version again says, "In this hope will never disappoint us, because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. He gave us his love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us." God's love available through the Holy Spirit because of Jesus never disappoints. That's the promise of God, that his hope will never disappoint us, the way our hope in another person or our hope in an event does disappoint us at times. They do fall short. Our hope in the God never will. And here is how Paul describes the hope, this hope that does not disappoint. Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. Let me get to that. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So I see two sources of hope that Paul describes here, this hope that doesn't disappoint. And the first is our standing in God's grace and glory through Jesus. He says that we've been justified through our faith in Jesus. Jesus came into this world and gave us that opportunity to be forgiven for our sins, a new opportunity to draw close to God, a new opportunity to know that we've been accepted by God, that our failures are not the end of us. We've been justified by our faith. We have been made right with God. We have peace with God because of Jesus. And that's the number one source of hope, our right standing with God through Jesus. The second part is that the endurance that God develops in us through our sufferings. As he talks about there, we rejoice in our sufferings because our endurance through those produces character and produces hope. The source of hope in this case is that God gives us opportunities to wait on him, to trust in him, to believe in him beyond our circumstances. And in doing that, in putting us in those situations, he develops hope in our hearts. Finally, I love the description of hope that Peter gives in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And again, I turn to the New Century Version a lot for this message because I love the way it's worded. It's just so clear. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope, because Jesus rose from the dead. And now we hope for the blessings God has for his children. These blessings, which cannot be destroyed or be spoiled or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time. This makes you very happy, even though now, for a short time, different kinds of troubles may make you sad. These troubles come to prove that your faith is pure. This purity of faith is worth more than gold, which can be proved to be pure by the fire. But the purity of your faith will bring you praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is shown to you. You have not seen Christ, but you still love him. You cannot see him now, but you believe in him. So you are filled with a joy that cannot be explained, a joy full of glory. And you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." He's describing here the enduring, the lasting, the living hope that we have in Jesus, the enduring promises of God that will not be destroyed and never fail, that endure and give us joy even through the difficulties of life. This is the hope in waiting on Jesus, anticipating the work the Holy Spirit produces among us. This is the kind of hope that we as Christians have the opportunity to share with those around us. as we go out into this community, into our workplaces, out among our families and our neighbors, and share with them the living hope in Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we need to know that hope in our own lives, first of all, don't we? We need to know the hope that we have in Christ. We have to know it and cling to it and trust in it. Certainly, we are going to face hardships in this life. God is going to allow those things to happen. Let's remember that He does it not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to teach us faith and hope. We're going to struggle and have feelings of hopelessness at times. But because of the living hope available to us in Jesus, when you know Him, you have reason to rise up and cast off hopelessness. You have reason to not just endure, but to thrive in this world that's constantly throwing out reasons for us to give up. We have hope, living hope in Jesus, to truly live in this world, to have a joy beyond our circumstances because we know Jesus. True hope, lasting and powerful hope in Jesus and in His presence, in His grace and love, His everlasting glory. True hope is the ultimate and reliable and powerful and beautiful force that makes suffering of this world worth standing up against and slogging through every day with eyes fixed resolutely ahead and mind and body set firmly on the promises of hope, throwing off hardships because of the joy of what lies ahead. When we see Jesus, we know Him in our hearts and we trust in His promises. There is nothing that can hold us down. We can experience that joy today because we know the hope in Jesus, because He has come into the world. Just think what a great beacon of light that would be, that is to the world, when we just radiate the joy and the hope of Christ in our own lives, no matter what is happening around us. So next weekend, when we finally arrive at Christmas, we have the opportunity to focus all our attention on the embodiment of that living hope, on the birth of Jesus. His coming into the world is that moment that demonstrates for us that our hope in Him is not futile or misplaced. When Jesus was born, God came into this world full of troubles, to be with us, to show us that He cares and that His promises are true and that our hope is not misplaced. What a wonderful gift that is that God has given us. So I pray that throughout all this week, our hearts and minds may be set fully on the hope we have in Jesus to overcome any obstacle, any suffering, because of the grace of His presence. And when we gather together to celebrate Christmas, let's come and celebrate with our whole beings, with hearts and minds and voices full of thankfulness. Let's rejoice in the coming of God with us. Let's give thanks today for the gift of hope that God has given us. Let's embrace it. Embrace the truth of His promises. Let's pray, and then we'll sing one last song. Lord God, I am so thankful that You have given us this gift of hope, this strength, this power, this endurance that You provide, because we know that no matter what we face in this life, You are greater than all of our circumstances. Your love surpasses all darkness in this world. Your grace is greater than any judgment we face. Your presence never fails. You are our lasting hope. We thank You for sending us Your Son, showing us Your faithfulness, Lord. I do pray that You would just deepen our sense of hope for every one of us here, that we may know every day that we are never alone, that You go before us, and that our hope is sure. May we radiate that hope throughout all of our encounters with people around us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.